So I'm Nick Johnstone, I'm reporting for OEG. I'm here with Val Shawcross, the Deputy Mayor for Transport. We've spent the day, spent the morning at Ashby Capital and Exemplar's One Bedford Avenue scheme, finding out about the future of Crossrail 2. And Val, I wanted to sort of find out from you what the kind of milestones are over the next sort of 6 to 12 months in terms of the kind of evolution of Crossrail 2, if you like.
Yeah, well, it's an important time for Crossrail 2. The government have been looking at the strategic outline business case, a really detailed set of research documents since March. And we are hoping now we should get some feedback from the government as to how they want us to proceed, whether there might be any more work they want doing or changes. But if we get an in-principle sign-off, the next stage is that as quickly as we can, we go out to a detailed public consultation on the finalised route proposals, including, you know, there's still a few important issues about stations. And then, of course, we would be looking for the government to put a hybrid bill into Parliament before the end of their current term.
Can you explain what a hybrid bill actually would look like?
Well, a hybrid bill is it's a bit like a Transport Works Act, as they were. It's a bill which covers all the detailed planning issues, as you're aware, from the Estates Gazette, and would give potential objectors and affected parties an opportunity to petition and deal with routing issues, as well as giving us the powers to do this development. So it is a big scheme, this one. It would be bigger than Crossrail 1. So that will be quite a long and complex job, I think. And of course, we are then we would be good and ready to go and start with the procurement. And of course, there's the financing issue. But in parallel with all of this, the GLA is doing the work it needs to do to ensure that we would have the London-based funding streams to support this project, because it's a 50-50 project. So things like the mayoral community infrastructure levy, there would be details on that which are being worked through at the moment that would need to be passed as part of the mayor's London plan proposals. And detail on things like local opportunity area frameworks, planning frameworks that would help empower the development regeneration around the scheme that would again supply money to invest in the scheme. So, you know, the days when a transport project was just a transport project are long over. Crossrail 2, like Crossrail 1, will really be a transport stroke regeneration project, and that is really its value.
Sure. What kind of noises are you getting from the government at the moment? I mean, I know you mentioned earlier that you're looking forward to there being a meeting with Chris Grayling, I think, on the 20th of July. But could you talk about what you're hearing from the government at the moment?
Well, the Department for Transport has certainly been an active partner on the project. They're on the project board since that was established, and they've been working with us in detail. So, you know, the government has been positive about this all the way through, but that doesn't mean that there won't be issues that they, you know, want us to resolve.
I mean, it wasn't in the Queen's speech, which I think was a bit of a blow.
Well, you know, I would have liked to have seen it in the Queen's speech, but my colleagues with a lot more experience were less disappointed. They say, well, you know, what we really need is to get this hybrid bill through before the end of this parliament. And all of the government's focus at the moment really is very much on the Brexit deal and the post-Brexit period. So, you know, that's why the Queen's speech was as it was. There are lots of other things that people...
So Brexit wanted. Is something of a distraction, unfortunately.
Well, you know, Brexit isn't just... taking up a huge amount of time, and it's sapping a lot of sort of energy, I guess, in a way. But actually, it's also the justification for doing this project, because you've got to have some positive plans in place for the post-Brexit period, because, you know, Britain will have to paddle its own canoe very hard. And I think Crossrail 2 will be really important, not just for London and South East, but for the whole of the UK.
Just to get down to some specifics, I know that you said that the budget had had about £4 billion of cutbacks. And you mentioned that there might be some modifications to the current route as well that come further down the line, I think, with stations and so on. Can you talk us through any of the specifics of what might change in terms of the route?
Yeah. Well, it's a £31 billion project, so it's a pretty big project. And there was a route published for consultation 2015, which at the moment is the sort of published route. But there are a number of variations which have come forward. And until the government signed it off, you know, I can't go into the detail. However, those details would be part and parcel of the next public consultation. You know, the broad shape of it stays the same, but there are some important changes on things like, you know, there's obviously the Balham versus Tooting station issue and King's Road or not issue. So, you know, there's a few very important things like that. I call them details, but they're actually profound differences
sure.
for local people. They will need to go out to public consultation.
We've talked already a bit about the mayoral SIL, the Community Infrastructure Levy. I believe that some developers have said that, that there could be sort of prohibitive impact on development, you know, if the SIL is potentially too high.
Yep.
How do you reconcile the need for private sector funding of infrastructure versus sort of choking off development, if you like?
Yeah, no, I totally understand that one. And I think, you know, there's a moment where at the moment we're all just watching the market and how things are shifting. There'll have to be a consultation around this, the mayor's new SIL proposals. The current Crossrail 1 SIL, I think, finishes in 2 years' time. And so we will be talking about what would replace that, looking towards Crossrail 2. It has to be reasonable and bearable. It has to relate to the reality of London's business community. We can't produce fantasy finances because we're in danger then of choking off the thing that we're trying hardest to support. So that is quite a, you know, I was going to say it's a set of fine judgments. It's judgments that had to be well supported by research.
Okay. And I suppose the other thing I would ask is, to what extent do you think the property industry can do anything right now, sitting at their desk? Kind of, what is it that the property industry can do to sort of step up and try and make sure that this happens?
I think it's been incredibly important that organisations like the Westminster Property Association have been so vocal and so supportive, because, you know, looking back, you know, what was it that finally clinched the deal on Crossrail 1? It was that industry and business really went independently to government and said, yeah, we believe this makes sense. You know, we're going to stick our hands in our pockets and we support this. We need this for growth. And I think there'll be a similar moment on Crossrail 2 that we're getting close to, when the government, you know, has to hear from those independent voices that say this is good for Britain, it's good for UK PLC, and I think that's the thing that the property industry can help with.
Val Shawcross, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Good.